Hello and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, the podcast dedicated to igniting your entrepreneurial spirit and empowering you to conquer new horizons. In this podcast, we chat with inspiring entrepreneurs on their journey to success through some amazingly insightful and expansive conversations. These episodes thrive on thought-provoking chats where our guests fearlessly explore their path to success, sharing their experiences, failures, and triumphs. No topic is off limits as we deep dive into the talked about and not so talked about pieces it takes to build a business, overcome limiting beliefs, deal with personal struggles, and everything in between that shapes our lives and our businesses. I'm your host, Kat Polsonelli, creator and founder at The Lotus Effect, where we believe that success is not just about strategies and tactics, it's about cultivating a powerful mindset and creating customized business operations that align with you and your true purpose. Whether it's mastering time management, improving productivity, enhancing leadership skills, or simply fostering a growth-oriented mindset, we'll provide you with the tools and strategies to flourish in both your business and personal life. I'm so excited to have you join us today in this episode, so get ready to feel empowered and inspired as we learn together and from one another on how to rise above challenges, break through limitations, and unlock our full potential. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today on this episode of Real Chat with Kat. I am so excited to have you here with us today and my amazing guest, Miss Ashley Chamberlain. So, Ashley, do us all a favor and tell us who you are, what it is that you do, and what got you into your space.
Awesome. I am so, so excited to be here. I have been healthily stalking your podcast for a long time now. So I'm so grateful to be on the show. My name is Ashley Chamberlain, and I am the founder of Chamberlain & Good Company. So we are basically a bookkeeping and accounting firm, helping small to medium-sized businesses kind of manage those tasks that really they don't need to be doing. And it can range anywhere from small admin tasks all the way to filing those taxes. So I've been in the accounting space for a little over 10 years now, and we are growing at a really, really good pace right now. So I plan to be here for a long time.
I love that. And have you always known that the like creating your own company and having that is what you wanted to do?
Oh, it's so funny. Whenever I'm asked this by literally everyone, no, I never ever thought that I would have my own company. It was never something I really sought after. It didn't ever sound exciting. I grew up kind of in a blue collar family. So the idea of you just go to work, you work hard, and then you go home and you have your life outside. That was always my life growing up. So I didn't really know any different. And it came to a point a few years ago where I had obtained a position in the accounting industry that I had considered the goal. So I was a CFO for a construction company, and it was a very large construction company. And I found myself in this position at a younger age than I ever imagined. And it was for a lot of reasons. It was my grit. It was my assertiveness, but also it was my ability to just never feel content with normalcy. And so I found myself in this position. I felt incredibly grateful. And about 6 months into that position, I'll never forget, I was sitting with my husband and I said, well, what now? Like, what do I do now? I'm a young person at that point. And I thought this cannot be it forever. And a lot of people in that position would be 100% content, feel like the goal was got, if you will, mm-hmm. and would stay there for 20 plus years. But for me, I felt like I have young children. I want them to see me struggle. I want them to see me succeed, but I can't do that in a position I feel complacent in. So I said, what's next? And he said, well, you know what's next. You are good at challenge. So I took that and ran with it and started my own business.
So you're so awesome. You know what though? I love hearing that because I am the same way. And even when I was in the medical field, and one of the reasons why I got into the medical field, besides wanting to help people, was the simple fact that there was always something different that you could do, right? So there was like always a different place to go or a new license that you could get. Like it was never ending. And to me, that was what was interesting about it because I knew I wasn't going to get complacent, right? And not saying that complacency is a bad thing, right? Not everybody is meant to shoot to the top to always keep going. So if you're in a spot where you are comfortable and you've been there for many years and you like that, like there is no right or wrong, right? Like you're fine. Yeah. And for some of us, we have to keep going. We have to keep being challenged. Otherwise we get really bored and then it's so easy to do what we're doing. We're like, okay, I don't want to do it anymore. Cause you know,
exactly. It is. It really is. And I am very fortunate to be married to my exact opposite. Because he is someone, so he's a truck driver and he's a local truck driver. So he punches the clock, drives a big old semi all day, feels satisfied in his job, comes home to the family and feels like he was productive. And he has done it for years now. And I go up to him, I'm like, well, what's next for you? And he's like, I go to work tomorrow. Like that's where he feels the happiest. He loves being able to be alone during the day. He's also a musician, so he gets to let his creative mind kind of flow. He listens to podcasts, like Real Chat with Kat. So it brings him that happiness that I feel when I'm being challenged. So it's the same feeling, but just in a different way. And I actually love that about him because sometimes I'm the flower and sometimes I'm the watering can. And lately I'm the flower and he is totally okay with that. Like we needed that balance. So very grateful that he loves his job and wants to stay there as long as he can.
Oh, I love that. And what an interesting analogy too, right? That you can be the watering can and the flower and kind of bounce back and forth. Like, I love that. And I love that you guys have that kind of connection because that in itself is so powerful, right? There's so many of us that have been challenged on our own that are trying to move forward in a place. And we're like, I just wish I had someone. And we have to be both the flower and the watering can at the same time for a little while. And that can be so discouraging, but you know, it also builds resilience and confidence and empowerment of yourself. And you do eventually find that person or those people, right? It can be friends as well that fill that cup. My husband's the same way. He's been in IT for 20 plus years. It's what he's good at. It's what he knows. And I am the opposite. I want to do everything that challenges me because, you know, why not? Why not see if I can do it? Why not see what happens? Why
and
not?
I totally get that. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when we first met, we had this kind of really strong friendship. And I think that's kind of what carries us through because sometimes, you know, our relationship, as all relationships, go through different seasons. And in the beginning, he was in the season of he was still writing music a lot. He was playing a lot. And I felt very much like I was the watering can because I wanted to support him. I wanted to be there for him. And so that was the time that I was making sure that I was at my job, same job every day. We had good health insurance, all the things, you know, that the watering can is providing. And so our seasons change kind of as we need it. And I don't even think it's consciously, but it is definitely intentionally because we can kind of sense what's needed and when. And I didn't realize how fortunate I was to have such a supportive partner until I started a business and heard exactly what you just said. A lot of people don't feel that support and they feel nervous they're going to make their partner upset or they're mm-hmm. taking too much from the relationship. They're not providing a stability that I guess they're required to in their mind. And it can really halt the growth that maybe they could have, but they stop because they feel selfish or they don't feel that support. So I guess I started realizing, I never journaled so much either until I started a business. I hated journaling. That just was slow torture, but journaling more has definitely, allowed me to see how much in my life I have to be grateful for, not mm-hmm. in a monetary way, not in a vanity way, but, for a foundation way. Like I have a solid partner at home that's super supportive. I have kids that are healthy. The things that would take me away from that growth have just by whatever higher power grace have just been okay while I needed it.
Oh, I love that. And I'm right there with you on the journaling. to me, I was like, who on earth wants to sit and write in a journal? Right. Who wants to put dear diary today? And
yeah.
And right. It doesn't have to be that way, but you're so right. Mm-hmm. Like I have caught myself journaling a lot more. I've had quite a few coaches that are like, you need to write things down, right? You need to let them flow. You need to get them out of your brain and pay attention to where it puts you in your life. And it really is interesting, especially when I do my journaling where I am looking back on like where I was and where I'm at, which has been something that I recently have really tried to do more of, just because you do get into those growing pains, essentially, right? Where you are like, I'm not sure if I'm going to make it, but I think this is better than what it was, but it doesn't feel like it's better, right? Like you get in this like limbo phase. And so being able to really reminisce almost on the past and look at, you know, oh my gosh, I did come from this. Oh my gosh, this really did happen. And then seeing the bountiful pieces, like you said, it doesn't have to be monetary or anything like that, but just noticing the small things around you that make such an impact on what it is that you're able to do now, right? Like, right, like you said, I have an amazing husband that I'm so blessed to have in my life that is so supportive. My relationship with my kids since I've done my own healing has like blossomed, which is insane when I think about the way things used to be and them going through their teenage years and like where we are at now, right? Like I even surprise myself sometimes like, oh, that was good. So
proud of us. Yes. Like, yes. Pat on the back. Yes. I totally understand that. Especially with teenagers.
Ooh. But you're right. It's so interesting to when you journal intentionally, not just as a review of your day, but really use it for specific things in your life. So like I love to journal or walk through and talk to my, yes, I talk to myself a lot, talk through the things that I've been through and like walk myself through the scenario. And then it's interesting how you come to like these realizations that you're like, oh, well, I actually handled that better than like what I would have done 5 years ago, or I'm actually at a different spot. And so what I'm thinking is actually wrong is actually something from 2-3 years ago, but like, that's not happening anymore. Right. It's so interesting. It's like having your own epiphanies, like constant.
It really is. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. And it's so, you know, when you first start journaling, it almost feels like you're starting from the ground up. So you journal the way you're supposed to journal. And for me in the beginning, it was a review of my day. And I wasn't necessarily celebrating the right things. I was really hard on myself as someone who is constantly trying to see growth and not only in business, but just in myself. And so, you know, you're starting like, are you there, God? It's me, Margaret. And then the journaling becomes sometimes more visual. Like I draw a lot in my journal and I start to visualize like, what am I seeing for myself now? Or talking about the things like you're saying with your kids, where I always felt like I wasn't the normal mom, right? So the mom that was like the snack mom, like I didn't like to bring snacks to my kids' class. Like, that was not me. That was not my jam. I was not the mom. I just wasn't the mom that wanted to stay home. And that, mm-hmm. that gave me a lot of guilt and made me feel like something was wrong with me. And it was right around the time that I was kind of transitioning to working from home, for my business. And I had this guilt, like, well, am I supposed to have my kids home with me now that I'm home? And so journaling through all of those feelings, it helped me because I would write down my wins with my kids while they are at school, while they are in daycare. And it made me realize I'm a better mom when I can have kind of a sense of identity, I guess a life outside of just being a mom when I'm productive. I can take a step back as a mom when I'm needed and say, oh, I handled that really well because they didn't stay home, because I had that time to myself, mm-hmm. because I could be productive as a person and not just have my entire life be at home with kids. For me, that was not an enticing idea. So journaling through those things and recognizing the wins of where I was at right now, it's just done wonders for my relationship with my kids now. The teenage phase, we have a 12-year-old, and it just feels like you win some and then you lose a lot more. And so, you know, it's like, that went okay. And then it's like, not my best, you know, and being able to kind of not only talk about it with my husband, but talk about it with myself. Like, mm-hmm. what, kind of like giving yourself an evaluation, if you will, like, that was great. Next time, don't pull the chair out from under him because you're upset. Like, not my finest hour, but also like he lived through it. So we're both stronger now. You know, it's like, you can't win every single one. Like, we're all just winging it. And sometimes I think there's not enough people out there that talk about the winging it. They seem like, yes. they have it all together. And you're like, what's wrong with me? Like, why did I get so upset that he said one cuss word? I'm like, oh yeah, because that's the normal reaction. And people don't talk about that enough. So yeah, I definitely am all about journaling. However you need to journal, even if it's I think there's an app now that you can just journal in your voice memo situation. And it's like, however the stream of thought comes, then that's just how you have to allow it to come out. So that's kind of where I was with it.
Ooh, I like that. And I really love that, you know, like you said, you went through the guilt phase and the shame of like not having your kids at home, right? I feel like for a lot of parents in general, and I'm sorry, guys, I'm going to specify this more towards moms. I know we have some really loving dads out there, but more towards moms, because we are such nurturers that we feel like we are responsible for all of these things. And in addition to, right, like it's a never ending thing. And at the same time, you're right, you do have to take that break. And it does make you a better person by having that separation. You know, my husband and I had the same conversation when I really started working from home and all the things. And then it got like summertime. Right. So my kids are home. They kind of do their own thing, but like they still want to hang out with mom. And then my husband's still working a regular job. So I felt obligated in my own brain that I needed to move my schedule around to work for everybody else. Right. Yep. So if my husband needed something, I'd go help him or do what he needed to do. If my kids needed me, I'd be like, okay, well, I'll take a break and I'll go help you. Right. So instead of realizing that, like, hey, I'm building a business as well. And building a business means you have to have structure, and it's okay to plan around that, right? Or maybe you take like half the day, which is what I started doing. I'm like, okay, if I get all my stuff done this week, then I'll take a half day, you know, next week, and we'll go out and we'll do something, right? And so like my kids looked forward to that, even being teenagers, but it's putting those boundaries for yourself in place. But you're right, it's so important to, like you said, give yourself that self-evaluation, especially as women, where we feel like everything is supposed to be on us. And nobody has told us that. It's just a societal norm, right? And I think a lot of us just kind of like keep packing it on versus asking for help.
Right. And I think on that, it's, you know, there's always a default parent. And it doesn't, I would say most of the time it's the mom. Sure, there are those times where the default parent is the dad, but the default parent carries such weight. And what a default parent is to me is who do the kids go to open up an applesauce pouch? Mm-hmm. Do they go to the dad? No, they pass the dad to come to the mom. Who do the kids treat, I'm going to say, the worst? Who gets the beatings from the kids emotionally? Usually the mom, because those kids have that feeling, that trust of that unconditional love. And mm-hmm. yeah, okay, that's all great and dandy, but it also, it freaking sucks sometimes because it's exhausting. And there's this guilt, there's this societal norm that mom should want to stay home with their kids. And if they are at home, they should want to be on the floor playing with them. And they should want to home make all these meals and do all the crafts and, you know, all these things. And that's great. And sometimes there's a time for it and sometimes there's not. And mm-hmm. I felt so guilty putting my kids in summer camp. But then at the end of the day, they would come home with this full day of activities with other kids. So for me, it felt like they're being productive in their own way and I can be it in my own way. They come home and I am fully ready to serve. And that felt more productive for me in the long run than just hustling through these days of I'm going to wear all the hats at one time and hope that I can give multiple 100%. And it just doesn't work. I am not a nice person when I am trying to complete a task, especially something like taxes. Mm-hmm. Like I need full focus attention, which is hard enough to get just in general, but I need it without someone in the background needing something because they're going to get my attention, not my clients, not the work. So it is hard to find the balance, but I think there should be more conversations of we can parent how we see fit. And for us, it's dad goes to work, mom goes to work. It's just at the house. And mm-hmm. I know that can feel hard for people to kind of understand, but I'm going to say the kids are A-okay because at this point they can understand when I say I'm going to be on a Zoom call, they're like, oh, see you later. You're not a nice person if we come in during a Zoom call. So we have an understanding now. It's working out very, very well.
You know what though, but it's teaching them invaluable tools as well, right? It's teaching them patience. It's teaching them that they have to wait. It's teaching them to understand social cues when people are doing certain things. Like to me, that's a lot of lessons as yeah. well that you may not necessarily always get when you're in school. Yep. And I love the default parent. Like I'm going to use that. Like that is because yep. that's so true. And I never thought about that. And being a single mom, I was the only parent, right? For the longest time. So even when my husband and I got together 4 years ago, I have still essentially been the only parent because my kids are so used to coming to me. They're now getting to the point to where, you know, they hang out with him and they chat with him and all the things, but it took a really long time. And it's so funny that you said, you know, we deal with the emotions and the hard days as well. I literally just read a quote this morning that a friend of mine had on their Facebook page. And it said, nobody ever told me that some days my child would be angry at me, but it wasn't because they were angry with me. It's because I was their safe space and they could trust to be angry at that moment. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, think of how many times my kids have come home irritated, frustrated, pissy. Yeah. And I'm like, I didn't freaking do anything. Right. And it has nothing to do with that. It's literally that the emotions have bubbled over. I am their safe space. And so they know they can be angry with me or angry around me. And it's okay because they didn't deal with it somewhere else. Right. Like, right. I don't know. That quote was like mind-blowing for me. Like
that touched my heart, you know, because I in the preteen phase, and we also are hosting a foreign exchange student who she's 17, and so it feels like we just kind of made this big jump. You know, we go from 6 years old all the way to 17, and so every age needs a different kind of parent, if you mm-hmm. will. And some days I feel like, did I win more or did I not? You know, and I get a lot of bruh, you're doing too much, like all the time. And most of the time, I don't even know what they're saying to me, but I just feel like, as long as it's not like a super bad cuss word, just get it out. Because you know that I'm going to be here afterwards and we can talk about it. And yeah. Even with the 6-year old, he might not be calling me bruh, but he, you know, he has big emotions too. And at school, we expect them to somewhat hold it in and, mm-hmm. you know, present themselves in a certain way. So when they get home, like you said, that's their safe space, and they're not going to go to dad. Like, they're going to be like, hey dad, where's mom? Where's mom? And then they're just going to go, you know, like
yep.
So it can be such a beautiful thing to feel like you have that just unwavering trust, but also mm-hmm. someone is literally dumping their baggage on you and you have to decide, how am I going to handle this? Am I going to keep it all in? Am I going to let it all out? And again, it turns to who's your person to let that stuff out, or where's your outlet? So yeah, it's a tricky thing, especially right now with all the different ages in our house, because I know with a 6-year-old, he's very easy to please. You know, I can say, oh, you look so cute today. Mama, I just want to marry you when I get older. You know, it's like, okay. And then the 12-year-old's like, everything you do annoys me. Your breathing, your existence, like everything. I cannot. But then the 17-year-old, it's like, it starts coming back around. So she's like, oh, I just love spending time with you. Maybe because she's not my blood child. I don't know. But it's like a full circle. Like, it's hard, harder, harder, hardest. And then it could come back around. So mm-hmm. I look forward to that stage. But oh man, some days I'm like, this was a lot of baggage from a 6-year-old and a 12-year-old. Like, I'm exhausted. I feel like I weigh 100 more pounds right now.
Yes. So, oh my gosh. Hard. The mental load, which reminds me, like, flipping gears a little bit. If you think about it, and I'd love your input as well. You know, for us that have learned some of these things and we've come from a different perspective or created this different perspective as we've grown and our kids are growing and we're learning all this, I feel like for a lot of us, it also transitions into how you do business as well. So have you noticed that, like, you tend to be the default when your clients come to you, because you're dealing with numbers and the whole nine yards, right? Like, I feel sorry for my CPA, because I'm just like, here you go. Please don't ask me. Just like, I have all the paperwork, but just don't ask me to.
That's hilarious, because that, like, you are just like the prime candidate for like ideal client, because we take on that liaison role a lot. And I used to not even be able to say we. It started out as just me. So mm-hmm. I was all of the hats. I was client fulfillment, onboarding, all the things. And in the beginning, I learned so much about myself, because, you know, when you work for other people, when I was working as a CFO, I didn't have to start the business. I just had to keep it going. You know, I didn't have to, yes, I was making big decisions with large amounts of cash, a lot of employees involved, but I had someone above me that if I felt unsure, I would just go to the owner and I would say, mm-hmm. hey, what do you think? And they would essentially be the last decision maker. But when I started my own business, I felt incredibly scattered. I felt like, how have I been doing this for other people so well? And I feel like a nightmare right now. And so it definitely taught me a lot about what I need as a business owner versus working for a business. Mm-hmm. A lot of systems and processes and a lot of messing up. I mean, it was so much messing up. And, you know, thinking about the journaling, when I go back and look at my first few clients, my feelings were, I mean, they were night and day. So it was one day, I am so grateful this person reached out to me on Facebook. And then the next day it was like, I hate everything. I'm burning it down. Like, like, it's all going to the ground. It's ashes in my eyes. Like, I don't care about anything. And it was a lot of learning how to get through the hard times and be grateful and celebrate the small victories. So I learned, number one, I needed help, which came later than I wish it would have. But now I can say, you needed help earlier, because I can have that big picture view. So I needed help to get those systems and processes in place. I can do it for other people, but being able to do it for myself felt like such a chore. So that was a big thing I learned. I preach outsourcing to people, but I was not good at it myself. So that was a really, really big lesson I learned. And now I can confidently say I have the most rock star team. I'm not the one having to come up with certain processes. I can say, what do you think about this? I can be that visionary. So they're so incredible because they help me put those things in place. And I feel confident that when it's put in place, they're going to use it. I just have to learn it and get on board. So it's a much better space.
And I love that you shared this so much, because I feel like most entrepreneurs that I have spoke with or that I have dealt with as clients go through the same thing, myself included, right? We are so used to running somebody else's business, right? I was in medical administration. So although I handled everything, you're right. Like, I had somebody else that made the final decision. So if I was unsure, I could just ask them. And I feel like so many people get caught in this limbo space where they aren't sure how to make the decision, but there's nobody to ask to make that decision for them. And it's almost like this overwhelming, like, well, then how am I even going to do this feeling, right? Like, I feel like every person I've talked with has gone through that phase. And yet so many people that are getting into their own business are freaking out and losing it because they're like, but this shouldn't be happening. It's like, yeah, no, this is normal. Like, you're good.
Yeah. It doesn't feel great to hear that, but there is a normal, I think the roller coaster of everything's great, I want to burn it down. Everything's great, I want to burn it down. But the biggest takeaway is keep going, because tomorrow might be a great day. Tomorrow might be an day. And I think just for me personally, there are a lot of different seasons in my business. So a lot of different tax deadlines. So sometimes clients are great. Sometimes they're all, rainbows and butterflies, and they just think, we're the greatest thing that ever happened to them. And then during tax season or any hard season for them, it's because we deal with a lot of new businesses too, I see what I was feeling. And I think my failures, my mistakes I made helped me help them even better. So when they say, we're not growing, and it's just, I don't know, everything's, they're all upset about it. Now I can confidently say that, like you said, this is normal, but here's what I see for you in the future. If you do, I can give them, if you do this, these tangible steps that I wish I would have had, but I learned through trial and error, and now they can say, oh, you're right. Like, I can see that. And it helps me be a better cheerleader for them, because we do so much more than just bookkeeping and accounting. Finances, they're so personal. They're so intimate. I can't tell you how many just strategy calls with new potential clients I get on the phone with them, and they're so hesitant. They said, you probably never seen this before. And in my mind, I'm like, I probably have. And that's okay. That's why you're at the right place, because there's very few times that I can say, oh, actually, I have never seen this before. It's very rare. And I have a great team that if I don't know, another lesson I learned is to say, I don't know when I don't. And say, but let me get back to you. In the beginning, I used to say, I think I can figure that out right now. And then I would rush to an answer. But now I think becoming more of a seasoned business owner, I can say, I actually don't know that right now. So let me get back to you. I don't want to say anything that I'm not sure about. And I can go to my team and we can collectively come up with an answer. So it's kind of a beautiful process, but my mistakes have helped me become a better responder. For sure.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And it's so true. Like you were saying, it's going through those, what we consider failures, which, to be honest, really isn't a bad thing, right? Because once you're in the successes, you're not learning anything. It's just free flowing. You're good. You're like, this is awesome. Right. And I love that you brought up not knowing the answer. So this is like one of my favorites. So I've had this conversation since I got into business. And I have been telling my clients, I talk about it on social media and everything, of you don't need to be the I know everything person. And so many of us, I feel like, get into business and immediately think, well, they're not going to listen to me if I don't know it all. And it's like, no. People are willing to hear, but I personally believe that people actually want to work with you more if you can stand in your own confidence of knowing that you don't know it, but you're going to figure it out. That to me is like another level of being able to help someone, because now you're not pretending, you're not hoping that you can figure it out. You are being extremely upfront and very honest. And unfortunately, that's not a thing that you see all over the world, right? That it's not a huge percentage. So a lot of people take a lot of pride in that when you do have the ability and the guts to be like, you know what? I am not sure on that, but let me kind of look into it. Let me see what I can find out and then get back with you. I do that all the time. And I have to say that when I started doing that, that to me was more empowering than having all of the answers up front.
Yep, I agree. And it's with accounting, you know, there's the basis of accounting. My education is in accounting, business, admin, all those things. But I was doing books before I started my business. I was doing books for one industry every single day and got very good at it. But when I started my own business, I was opened up to this world of different industries. And with different industries come different software, different expenses, just different. And in the beginning, I thought, if I don't have the answers when they ask, they're going to think I don't know anything, which was so limiting from my own belief. So being able to say, I can answer some of these questions confidently, but I'm actually writing them down and I'm going to get back to you. When I respond back with those questions, their gratitude of being seen, of me not forgetting about them, actually taking time to research it, is so much greater than if I just spout out whatever comes out. And that happens more now, I think, than even the very beginning, because as we get into more industries, in the beginning, I was specializing in construction and general industry because that's what I knew the most. But as business grew, I brought on team members that had a lot more experience in other industries, but I'm usually the one on the phone call with a new client. So it made me feel kind of nervous, but excited that, hey, this is an industry I actually don't know a lot about. I can do the accounting, but I want to know, you know, what kind of questions do you have? And I am pulling questions out because I want to learn about it. There are so many different online businesses right now, and every online business has some kind of third-party payment system, some kind of CRM that they're using that sometimes I've never even heard of. But those are the times I can say, you know what, that's a new one for me, but let me talk to my team because they actually might know a little more about that. And even if my team has never heard about it, the power of the internet is we can look and see what it is. We can watch a few YouTube videos. We say, oh, okay, it's kind of like this. We can roll with that. But it's taking the time saying, let me get back to you. And they have so much more gratitude because then they think, oh, well, they're going to do this research about it and they'll get back to me. And it's creating that trust. So it's been a lot better doing it that way.
No, I love that. And I agree with you 100% that being able to come back to someone, knowing that you actually listen to what they were saying versus trying to have the answer in that moment, can be so much more powerful. And it also can give you grace when things happen, right? Like, I have worked with so many clients where I've been on top of everything, or I've gotten things done ahead of time, or I've gone back to ask them to make sure we're creating it the way that they want it, not the way that I see it. And then when I have down times, or like my son who was in a motorcycle wreck, he's fine. He just broke a foot, but still,
still sounds scary. You know,
a little scary, but all of your attention gets redirected. It's so much easier for me to go to my clients and say, hey, I know that we had this deadline, or I know that I told you I was going to get this done. I had something personal happen, or whatever the case may be. It's probably going to take me a couple of extra days. I have never had a client complain or tell me that's terrible or be like, but you told me blah, blah, blah. I've never had that. But I think that there is, like you said, there's that different level of communication and understanding, and you are spending more time on those calls, listening to what they are saying, intaking what they are saying, making notes of it, and then making sure that you're doing the best for them versus just relying on whatever is in your brain at that moment.
Right. Right. And it's, I think, building that internal grace and trust with finances. If I say, hey, I'm going out of town, or hey, the deadline is, it was, you know, the 16th of October. I am actually not working that day. And the response back hasn't been, you know what? I don't want to work with you anymore. It's, wow. My accountant is not working on the tax deadline day. That's pretty amazing. Or that's pretty awesome that they have these boundaries in place. And that was the big thing was boundaries is I can say confidently now, my people don't work on Friday. If I'm working, don't expect a lot of response. I'll see what's important, what's not, but there is no such thing as an accounting emergency because if there is, we didn't prepare well. So having those boundaries and that trust, you know, I can say my people don't work on Fridays. They're not going to answer emails after this time. And that's just our boundary. Not really had a lot of clients that were just outraged by it. If anything, they were intrigued when I say things like that, especially the new business owners. When I say, actually, we don't work on Fridays, but, you know, they'll get back to you on Monday when they log on. And they'll say, what? How did you do that? Tell me more about that. They're more intrigued by it because they want to know how they can do that. Or no, I'm not working on the deadline day. And they're like, what? I don't understand. Like most CPAs and accountants are working until 11:59 on that day. I'm like, no, that's not a good day for me. Number one, I don't want to feel that pressure. We should have already had things filed by then. But number two, Mondays are the days I take the host daughter to cheer. So I'd rather enjoy that and not sit in front of a computer. So boundaries.
Yes. Oh, boundaries. That is, that could be a whole nother topic of conversation right there. Right.
It's a big one.
And it makes such a difference in your business. So I have a question for you then. If you were to, cause you know, you said you deal with a lot of newer companies as well. What would be like the one or two biggest pieces of advice that you would give to someone that's newer in the business? Besides, you should totally get a bookkeeper to do your filing.
So biggest advice besides that, I always tell the solopreneurs that kind of come our way. They come to us and say, oh, I'm not ready to hire, but you know, the biggest advice is start tracking income and expenses as soon as you have income and expenses, because it is a lot more expensive to clean it up when you feel ready to hire a bookkeeper, an accountant. There's a cleanup phase. So start tracking those things. It can be as simple as writing it down. It can be creating a folder on your computer, scanning your receipts to the folder, keeping them there until you're ready. It can be starting a spreadsheet, just tracking it. It should be done from the very first expense or income, that situation you have, because it'll cost you more in the long run if you don't. And then the second part is making sure that you are set up correctly as a solopreneur, an LLC, an S-Corp, whatever you are. Making sure that you're set up legally as you should be, because it's also, it will be so much more expensive if you go back and try to play catch up. Too many times, my heart is broken for these people, because I have a local restaurant that's a client of ours now, but they came to us at the beginning of this year, and they are the woman who runs it. I mean, she is the bomb.com, like the sweetest person. But when she came to us, they had this restaurant for a couple of years, but they didn't file the correct taxes because they didn't know. They didn't know they were supposed to have a occupational license for the restaurant. They didn't know they were supposed to be reporting to where we're at. You report to the state, you report to the city, but you also have to report to the county. So there's all these little intricacies that if you're not set up from the beginning the right way, you're going to go back and spend so much more money because you're going to pay penalties and interest. You're going to have to play a lot of catch up with filing, and it's very tedious. And then you're going to pay more money. So both things, tracking and set up correctly, I just, maybe it's because I'm seeing it from the other side, but those two things are the most important things when you're getting started, in my opinion.
No, I love that. And you know what? I totally agree with you, because when I jumped into the entrepreneurial space and I got into real estate, that was never a conversation. It just, why, I don't know, but it's just not a conversation. So my first year in business, I had to, when we got to tax season, go back through all of my accounts, through all of my statements. I had been using my debit card for the things that I was using for my business. Like, it was horrendous having to go back and figure all of that out. And there's no telling how many things that I missed that I wasn't able to deduct because no one had taught me any of that, you know? And so I did the same thing. I went to a spreadsheet, and I immediately, the next year, I hired a CPA, and I was like, I need you to sit down and talk with me. And I was like, give it to me. Like, what can I write off? Yeah. What am I able to do? What am I not able to do? And bless his heart, he's so sweet. Cause I email him constantly. When I created this business and I created an LLC, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Right. So I had to have him help with all of that because I did not want to do it myself and do something wrong. Yeah. So I now have the spreadsheets in place, and I cheated because I don't like making spreadsheets. So I went on Etsy, and there are people
buy a template.
I did buy a template. It's the best thing ever. Okay. Just FYI, anybody that doesn't want to create a spreadsheet, I'm sure that Ashley has some phenomenal stuff too, but I cheated and I did. I went to Etsy, but it has saved my life, and I can import everything that I need, expenses and income. And it gives me the chart and the graph, so I know what it looks like each month. Like, it is fantastic. There is no way I would build anything even close to that. So that has been, that has been my go-to. And so even though I do a profit and loss for my CPA, I also have all of those pieces that I can back up. And I'm like, hey, if you need additional breakdowns, like, here's my spreadsheets. And I have everything laid out in that to make it a little bit easy, hopefully a little bit easier for him, because he saves me because I don't have to fool with it. Right. Which is a blessing.
Right. Well, I think that's such a testament, though, to say, hey, if you don't know how to do this, someone else does. We don't need to recreate the wheel. Where are those resources to help us get through? Because someone's done it. We have a real estate client, and she has a master spreadsheet, but we're taking her to an accounting software, because what she did was she tried to build the wheel and do the things, and she left so much money on the table when it came to tax deductions. She wasn't tracking it the right way. She wasn't even sure where all the income went. It would come into different accounts and she would transfer it to us. She was so lost. And us coming in as kind of that FBI investigation of, let me get through all your things. Mm-hmm. You know, we can only do so much. Most of it lived in her head. So I love that you went and bought a template. We do that for the newer solopreneurs that kind of come our way. And I personally think you're not ready to outsource this. You're not, if I can see you're not making enough money to pay yourself first, I'm not going to take you on as a client. So if you're at that place, we say, hey, let us create some kind of spreadsheet and guide to help you track your money and help you spend your money. So if you're a real estate agent, what should you be spending money on in your business, and what's more personal? Because that changes every single year, all the time with compliance. So that's something we try to just, here's this guide, here's the spreadsheet to get you through until you start making more money. And then you can come back.
Ooh, I like that. So everybody, everybody's going to be blowing Ashley up. So as we come to a close, the one thing, you know, I always ask all of my amazing guests is, do you happen to have a quote or a piece of advice you'd like to leave the audience with?
So in the very beginning of business, there were a couple of things that I thought were just must haves. Like, I can't have a business without business cards. I can't have a business without a website. The things that really just keep you from moving forward, you know, but they felt so important then. So a slogan that my husband and I kind of created was, "Let us mind your books so you can mind your business." And it sounds, kind of saucy, but I was like, you know what? It's just my way to say, let us do what we consider ourselves a genius in, so you can do what you're a genius in and keep running your business.
Ooh, I like it.
A little salty, but if you know me well, then you know I'm usually very transparent. So we just thought we'd put that in a slogan. This is what you're getting.
I love it. No, I am all for transparency and bluntness. This is fantastic. So Ashley, yeah, do us all a favor then and share with the audience, where can everybody find you, connect with you? How can they be in your world?
Sure. So we live, mostly on Facebook and on Instagram. So on Facebook, you can find us at Chamberlain and Good Company. But you can also find me, Ashley Chamberlain. I still love to connect with clients personally when it comes to the beginning phases. Then you can find us on Instagram under Chamberlain and Good Co. Those are the platforms my children have allowed me to be on and not embarrass them. So those are our big ones. And then we can go from there. We'll, you know, slide into the DMs. My 12-year-old would die 1,000 deaths if he knew I said that, but I'm totally fine with it. So reach out. I do live trainings every Wednesday, and they can be anything about taxes, business, how to save money, how to spend money. And those are free, and you can just come on in and enjoy the ride.
Yes, yes, yes. And she just recently did one on, what was it, time management, kind of like how to prioritize, which was awesome. Yep. So
prioritizing your tasks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So thank awesome. You so much, Ashley, for all the information and all the goodies. And of course, everybody will have all that information in the show notes for you as well. But Ashley, I can't thank you enough for being a guest on the podcast and sitting and chatting with me. So thank you.
Thanks, Kat. Had a good time.
And to everybody else that's out there, I hope you got some amazing takeaways and you were taking notes. And be sure to follow up with Ashley and touch base. And remember, the two things that she said are super important about running your business. So until next time, don't forget, do one thing positive for someone each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Hello again, and thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode and it brought tons of value, we ask that you please share, like, and subscribe. Your support means the world to us and helps us to reach even more inspiring entrepreneurs who can benefit from these powerful conversations. If you haven't already, be sure to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, as this feedback is an amazing gift that fuels our growth and helps us to continually improve this podcast. Looking for an extra dose of inspiration and empowerment? Then be sure to connect with me on social media. You can find me at The Lotus Effect, where I share valuable resources and tips while sharing my own journey of being an entrepreneur. And if you're interested in learning more about my coaching programs and services, be sure to check out my website at the-lotus-effect.com. Once again, thank you so much for being a part of Real Chat with Kat. Your presence and support makes all the difference. Remember, whether you find yourself in the depths of the mud or on the path of growth, we all have a unique journey. And just like the lotus, some of us start in the dirtiest of mud, yet as we rise and grow, we blossom into something beautiful, unique, and truly one of a kind. To all of my visionaries out there, keep rising and growing as you create your own Lotus Effect.